All right, it is 8:42. You're listening to AM 1050 WLIP. I am Lenny Palma. Got some returning guests in the studio here with us. Scott Carney with Lakeview Health. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great today, Lenny. Thanks so much for having us back on.
Yeah, it's a little bit nippy out there, though. I actually wore gloves today, you know?
Yeah, that's cold.
Yeah, it is cold. And Chuck... Chuck was here a couple weeks ago. We were doing an interview. Chuck's a recovering heroin addict.
Correct.
And we were in the middle of talking away, and Chuck, you were being very honest and open. And I looked up, and I said, here we go. And we had to cut it. It wasn't cut short. We left 20 minutes for the interview. But I said, you guys come on back in a couple weeks, which we set up for this thing.
Thank you.
So we can listen to more of your story, Chuck. And now you've been working with Scott at Lakeview Health. And very quickly, I'm going to give people the backstory as I remember. You can correct me so we can get right off the dime and get going here again. You picked up the heroin habit from painkillers.
Yes.
Which is, by the way, it's standard operating procedure, it seems to be, in this country. I mean, people get hooked on whatever it was. What was it just Percocet, you said?
Percocet, Oxy, fentanyl. They were just handed to me like candy.
Powerful stuff.
Yes.
And then when the script ran out, in other words, you couldn't go to the pharmacist and get this stuff anymore. Now you got to look around for another source to keep the high going.
Yes.
And heroin is out there.
Prevalent.
Very prevalent. It's powerful and it's cheap.
Yes.
And as we said, very available. And you turn to that. But you never spiked yourself. You never shot yours.
No.
You snorted it.
Yes.
That's not unusual either. I mean, a lot of people think heroin addicts are just, you know, tying up the arm and doing the cooking and all that, but not necessarily so. So we were getting into your story about what happened. Your wife stuck with you.
Yes. Yes, I'm blessed.
Which is, isn't that sort of like your story too, Scott?
Yes.
Although yours was alcohol.
Mine was alcohol.
Alcohol, and, yes.
Yeah, she stuck with me.
Your wife stuck with you too. I tell you what. Without your wives, where would you be now?
Dead.
It could be.
Yes.
Could be. I will guarantee a jail. There's no doubt about it. Maybe both.
Yes. Right.
Jail and then dead. So, Chuck, did you lose your... I couldn't remember if you said you kept working.
I kept working.
You kept working. So you kept your job.
Yes.
You kept your job. Your wife stuck by you. You found yourself basically hitting bottom.
Yes.
And then you found Scott here.
Yes.
And you started working your way out of the pit you had dug for yourself.
Yes.
And that's basically where we were.
That's where we were, yes.
Where we were. Now, every day for you, by the way, as an addict, is every day is just day one, right?
I start over every morning.
Isn't that sort of, Scott, like what the AA, same thing the AA is doing too?
It's the same thing, Lenny.
Yeah.
No matter if it's alcohol or drugs, mm-hmm. Each day is a day, and we don't live beyond, today. That's all I have is,
sure.
You know, being recovery,
this
being
moment.
In recovery.
That's it, because when your main focus in life is the next high, that's all you look for.
Exactly.
So you could be talking to mom or dad. And about Thanksgiving dinner, and you're thinking, and they're talking turkey and stuffing and, you know, cranberries, and you're thinking, where can I get my next fix?
Right.
That's basically how it works, right?
Yeah. I couldn't even get to the Thanksgiving because I was too either busy trying to find it or I was in bed dope sick. So, I mean, my whole life.
Can you explain that to people, dope sick? Because, you know, maybe they don't understand what that is.
When your body, when you don't have the drug after having it for so long, you go through what they call withdrawals or dope sick. I couldn't get out of bed. I was puking. Literally, you could set me on fire and I couldn't get up. I was 6 days. I was in detox. I couldn't even walk down the stairs from the bed that they had put me in the care center.
Is that what people would normally call in the popular jargon cold turkey?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you detox. You just... Flat-out detox. There was no
regular.
Methadone, no...
Suboxone, no nothing.
Nothing like that whatsoever. You just that was it?
That was it. Yep. I asked for help. I actually wanted to go to detox when I was at Wheaton, and that's when they told me I was too high to go there because I knew they would give me Suboxone, which is just another opiate.
Yes.
And it's like you're replacing one for the other. I know people who are addicted to Suboxone. I know people who are addicted to methadone.
Sure.
And how is that helping the problem? So when I went to the detox, I at the care center, I had the choice to leave any day. I just couldn't get out of bed. But I didn't want this anymore. I didn't want this toilet bowl that I was living in, you know, anymore. Scott was coming over there every day. When I was able to actually comprehend what was going on, we started talking about treatments. And in my thinking, I was looking for one real close in case I wanted to skip town, you know what I'm saying, and get out and go do my thing again. And something clicked in me because we were talking about this Lakeview in Florida, and I actually made the decision. So I don't know who was in my head that day, and I said, I called my wife and I said, I'm going to Florida. They set me up with a plane, the whole nine yards. I was down there within 2 hours, and I was so nervous about being dope sick or something. No, I was fine. I got there in 2 hours.
But you're with people that understand what you're going through too,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you have to.
I mean, they're not going
to
say, what the heck's going on with this? They know what you're going through, and they know what you have to do.
Yes.
But you went there of your in the long run. It took you to get there, Chuck.
It took me to get there, yes.
Isn't that part of the component, Scott? You gotta, like the old, it said you gotta want up in the old locker room in the
exactly.
Football. Yeah, for football. Yeah,
exactly.
So you gotta want it. And if you don't want it, it's pretty rough.
Right.
So that's why it's tough to pick up that phone and make the call.
I was just going to say that was the hardest thing. My wife kept asking me, why do you keep watching this show, Intervention, that show, the dope man, the guy from Naperville? Why do you keep watching this? Because I was hoping somebody would do that for me because I didn't know how. I didn't realize that it's okay to say, hey, I have a problem. I have a disease. It's okay to ask for help. That's the big thing I want to get across is I was so blessed that I asked for help. But I had to hit my bottom, you know, and unfortunately, people who sometimes don't hit that bottom, they wind up 6 feet under, you know, and that's what I want to stress is it's okay to ask for help.
But you made a statement that a lot of people still won't accept when you use the word disease.
Exactly.
They think that, well, you're just a weak tit. You just didn't, you know, you didn't do it. I mean, you know, that will never be me. It will never be my kids. It will never be my friends. That will never happen to us.
Until it happens.
Yeah. Because that's you and it's not me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And isn't that... That is true, isn't it? Society still hasn't accepted this as a disease.
They haven't accepted it, nor have we educated people with, you know, what's available and that there is hope. And that's why it's so, you know, important that when Chuck said he wanted to tell a story, that he's in here and we're hearing it right from the horse's mouth.
Oh, sure.
Of, you know, there is hope. And what he just said, it's okay to ask for help. That's what, you know, a good friend of mine, William Moyers, that's his logo, his slogan.
Now, that's okay Bill Moyers' son.
Correct.
He's Bill Moyers Jr.
Right.
Bill Moyers, the big PBS guy.
Correct.
I mean, he's, yeah, and this was his son. His son was addicted.
Crack house.
Crack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something, too, as I got to really quick here, Chuck, too, is that crack was what we were talking about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There was a crack epidemic everywhere.
It's still prevalent.
Yeah, it's still, but not the way heroin is now, because heroin's moving freely across the border.
Right.
We did report on this show earlier this week that the hub for heroin traffic in the entire country is Chicago, right down the border there. So heroin is cheap and plentiful right here in Kenosha, Racine, Lake County.
And not in the inner cities.
No.
I can go into Pleasant Prairie. Most of my places were the better neighborhoods where I would go pick up.
Look, you know, that's another myth. The myth is that, well, that's just in those neighborhoods. No, it's not.
No.
It is pervasive
everywhere.
And it is everywhere. So you've been recovering now.
I got 66 days today.
66 days. 66 days. That's, I mean... That ain't bad.
No,
really, that's not bad.
I'll take
it. Sometimes 66 minutes is your count like that, right?
Yes.
What are you doing? I mean, I know you're working with Scott with Lakeview Health here, but I mean, are you just now, have you got a routine? You got a rhythm?
I do.
What is that, Chuck?
Lakeview taught me balance. That's key to recovery and being recovered. This morning, I went to a meeting, first thing, 6:30. Never thought I'd be able to do that. I go to a meeting every
Very
day.
Very dapper, by the way.
Thank you. It's part
you
of the job. I have a work schedule. I worked with my boss so that I wasn't going to one extreme, working 80 hours, going to 90 meetings in 90 minutes. You know, I've got balance in my life and a routine now, but my routine is sober-based. It's focused. I wake up in the morning. They taught me that at Lakeview. Wake up in the morning, focused on your sobriety. But once you take that drug away and that alcohol, I'm a raw. There's a lot of stuff that I didn't want to deal with. And I was able to deal with the therapist down there. The one that I had was actually in recovery and knew what was going on. You know, so I was able to, I see a therapist once a week now at a place called Pathway. When you get out of rehab, you have to have a plan. You have to start off running in sobriety. Go to a meeting, mm-hmm. get a therapist, get a recovery coach. Scott picked me up at the airport on Sunday, you know, because I didn't know anybody else sober that could pick me up. And I sure to hell didn't want someone who was using to pick me up.
Isn't that, just to interject here, your friends change.
Yes.
But when you're a drunk, all your friends are drunks.
Yes. Right.
And the world looks fine to you. I mean, what do you mean I got a problem? These people, I mean, they're fine. Or when you're a heroin addict, you're hanging around with other heroin addicts because that's where the heroin is.
Exactly.
So, and you're looking around and your world looks fine and dandy. You know, I mean, people are looking from the outside in and going, hey, you are screwed up. And you're going, no, I'm not. Bob over here is fine. Fred's from Mary's fine. They're all fine.
I was always quitting tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Tomorrow is it. Tomorrow's it. It's like starting a diet. Just, I'm going to eat this pie, and then that's it. It's about the same thing, only on steroids, if I may use that term.
Exactly.
But so now you're working on a day-to-day thing. You get up in the morning with a positive attitude.
Yes.
That's what you have to have.
And it feels good. For the first time in a long time, I feel good. You know, I don't feel, you know, like I'm walking on water or anything. I used drugs to feel normal, you know, and I'm learning to feel normal without the drugs and handle situations. I have good days. I have bad days. But today I don't need to put a drug on it. Today I don't need to put a booze on it, you know, so it's a lot better. And I'm not here as getting paid or anything. I cannot thank Lakeview enough. I told everybody. There's people coming from Arizona to Milwaukee because the heart specialists are so good.
Right.
I went to Jacksonville because they're the best in the business.
Mm-hmm.
They are the complete package. They don't just say, let's work on the addiction. What happens after the, you know, you're off the drugs? They deal with that stuff, you know, from because the time you get there to the time you leave.
It's the post-addiction that's more important, obviously, because
the aftercare planning they have at Lakeview, mm-hmm. one of the things that I really try to drive home is the fact of very extensive aftercare planning. Yes. Anybody can stay sober or clean in an environment for 30 days.
I'm out of here in 30 days. I'm fine. And then you go back, and the first thing you do is you grab a bottle of bourbon and a crack pipe.
Right.
Exactly.
And when people go to Lakeview, they have a discharge case manager that helps them and sets up appointments in their area, no matter where they come from in the country, no matter where they go back to. So that we don't have a lapse of you just get back here and then you have to start doing things, setting up your own appointments, all that. That was all done for you, correct?
They started that the first day I got there.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is really a key component of any treatment center that you need to have that. And there's a lot of treatment centers that don't have that.
Exactly.
Or that extensive, I should say, because
I graduated from an IOP local. I won't mention names.
Okay.
I've never heard from them. I graduated high on crack and heroin that night. And not their fault. That was me. Okay. That was my deal. But they called me and said I was supposed to go for the rest of the week. They said, no, your insurance expired. Come get your certificate so we can get paid. Never heard from them again.
So the idea wasn't really your recovery.
No, it was the insurance. Where at Lakeview, it was about me. And also, and you know this, they worked with my wife, Ann, and he did. I called her and said, hey, I want the heck out of here. I'm ready to go get high. And it was only a couple days in. And they said, no. She said, no, they already called me and told me what you're going to do. They work with the family.
Oh, yeah.
They
just
let the
unchain
family know.
Me, I'm fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know.
I have to ask you, we only got a couple minutes again. Believe me, this is so, very quickly, Chuck. Any of your old associates, like, sort of nibbling around the edges and, you know, hey, come on.
That's what's funny. No.
No?
Because I blocked them. That was what Lakeview helped me with. They took my phone the day before. Block H-Town. Block D-Town. Block this guy. Delete them. they don't have no way of contacting me. I was ready when I left Lakeview to not have people contacting
me. So they basically performed a surgery on your phone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I have no desire. I have desire to call the people that I've met in sobriety. I'm making friends in sobriety now.
You have to have positive people around
exactly.
your life. I don't care what you're doing. I mean, if you're recovering or not.
And it works.
Yeah, and Chuck still talks and texts with his therapist from Lakeview.
Uh-huh. I told him to listen to this.
Yeah. You know, still, and that's the key to this is to have that consistency till Chuck gets in further into the recovery stage so that he still has constant contact with Lakeview. They have people that you can call and talk to on a daily
uh-huh.
basis. And, you know, that's key is to keep that communication going with the people that started it with you.
So can you believe this? We got about just a couple minutes left here. So you're on your way to work anyway, right?
Yes,
You're dressed for work. You're on your way to work all the time.
Yeah, 24/7.
This guy. Well, I was going to get in contact with you, but I was at the airport over here. I was over there. I said, where is this guy? You're all over the place, Scott.
Well, and you have to be there, and you have to pick up your phone. And, you know, this job is not 9 to 5.
No.
This job is when someone calls that's struggling. Like
you got
Chuck
up at 4
me.
O'clock it's like in a, the morning yeah. to get me to the airport to get to Lakeview.
It's like a mobile addiction emergency room.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 24/7 call,
it's
right?
It's my passion, Lenny. It's not a job.
Yeah. Same here with this radio show. And we get this message out, which is really important. Again, Scott Carney with Lakeview Health. Chuck? A Lakeview Health, can I say alumni?
Yep.
Can we do that, alumni?
Yep.
Okay, that's fine. And now a WLIP alumni, too. Both of you. You, of course, are
and
more
please,
than...
Please, call Scott. If someone out there needs help or they know a family member that does, call Scott.
Yeah, we definitely... Wait. Give us your number here,
Scott. My number is 262-620-9057. Call me anytime. I will answer... If I don't answer, it's because I'm with a client or a patient.
Leave a message, all right?
Leave a message, and I'll call you back. And even if you don't leave a message, you'll probably hear back from me because I always return phone calls regardless.
All right, gentlemen, I want to thank you very much.
Thank
Again,
you,
Chuck, thank you.
Nope, thank you,
for
guys.
Honesty, your honesty. Scott, we'll be talking to you
in
a couple weeks from now. Remember, by the way, the President of the United States came out and talked seriously about the opioid crisis. I mean, the nation is finally opening its eyes to this, and thank God they are. All right, gentlemen, we're going to news.